material variance and expenditure. Then we go into the first quarter, second quarter, and third quarter expenditure for members there. In the second quarter, there was a spend of 35.2 million against the benchmark drawings target of 40 million. Underspend was mainly due to delayed invoices for the white paper on national transport policy, NATMAP, transport policy framework, national transport planning data bank, as well as staff. The expenditure in the fourth quarter was 86.3 million, where we list employees' compensation again there at 50% for that specific program. And the projects under the program included the National Transport Planning Data Bank, NATMAC review, and the review and update of the white paper on the national transport policy. Going on to program 3, which runs on to page 21, the department spent 18.3 billion on program 3, which is rail. There was under expenditure there for the white paper on rail transport, establishment of a rail economic regulator, National Rail Safety Amendment Bill, National Rail Safety Strategy, Branch Line Strategy Review, and the Mulatto Development Corridor, which remains an unfunded mandate as far as we have been informed. First quarter expenditure is there at 6.5 million. Operational spending was driven by compensation of employees, which was to the tune of 4.9 million, as well as a spend on consultants. Was on the projects for branch line strategy, draft white paper on rail transport, and the rail safety gap analysis. Going on to page 22, at the end of the fourth quarter, the spend was 29.8 million or 89.8% of the available appropriation. Major spend of 68% on compensation of employees. Program 4, road transport. Allocation for the program was 23.2 billion. By the end of the financial year, the program has spent 22.9 billion. There was an overspend year on Inatis, operational expenditure mainly due to traveling, and Shambosonke. We go into the expenditure over the quarters, where Inatis is the main culprit under this program. Had the Constitutional Court delivered its judgment a bit sooner, the department could have had a much better finding, I believe, which hopefully will help us to remove Inatis issues next year. Program 5, Civil Aviation Transport, from page 22 on to page 23. The budget allocation was 150.4 million. Program had spent 145.3 million, with an under expenditure of 5.1 million. This is where the overspent was due to traveling. The watchkeeping service project was underspent by 7.8 million and 4.1 million was paid for the management of the Mthatha Airport project, which has recently been reported as having been taken over by OXA for management. So this will be one of OXA's local airports that they are managing going forward. Operational expenditure was 25 million for compensation, business and advisory consultancy services, as well as employees during the first quarter. And the second quarter was at 45.8 million with an underspend of 10. Operational expenditure at the third quarter was 71.9 million, of which 38% was for the payment of Telkom for watchkeeping services, and 34% was for the compensation of employees. The underspend of 13 million against the benchmark drawings target was mainly due to outstanding invoices from Telkom for watchkeeping services. Fourth quarter expenditure was 98.4% of the available appropriation. Of this, 43 had been spent on payment for watchkeeping services, 34 for the compensation of employees, with a total underspend of 6 million. On to page 24 on maritime transport. Of the 143.7 million that had been allocated to the program spent 142.9 million with an under expenditure of 800,000. The overspend program overspent its budget due to $34.6 million to the International Air Pollution Fund, even though there is an under expenditure of $800,000. The target in terms of the money had been moved from the other allocations in order to pay for the International Air Pollution Fund. That is why you see this overspend here, despite the underspend that's indicated, because the underspend was focused on the targets that had been set for the budget. We go through the quarters again. First quarter was $14.2 million. Majority was goods and services and compensation of employees. Second quarter, $36.8 million with an underspend of $10. The projects there was the white paper on the maritime transport policy, cabotage strategy, review of the merchant shipping African maritime charter, and the feasibility study on tugboat services. Third quarter was $55.2 million, of which $36.6 million had been paid to consultants and infrastructure and planning services for oil pollution prevention. On to page 24, we have the fourth quarter spend at $73 million, where the department had shifted with National Treasury approval in terms of Regulation 6.3.1, the $40 million for their arrear contributions to the International Oil Pollution Compensation Fund. On to Program 7, Public Transport. The allocation for the program was $11.3 billion, with the program underspending $6 million. Under expenditure was on a number of projects, which included the review of the taxi recapitalization model, the implementation of the IPTN plans in district municipalities, and the scrapping of taxis. A total of $184.3 million was shifted to other programs to cover over expenditure on state funerals, INATIS, as well as the Oil Pollution Fund. We go through the breakdown of the quarterly spend there up until the page 25 for the fourth quarter, where members should also note the $98 million that was shifted from goods and services budget to the road transport program to fund operations and maintenance of INATIS. From the explanations, this is also linked to the court orders that were issued against the department. Then we have the environments for 2015-16. This was explained by the department in their presentation. Page 27, we have the rollovers that were requested for the administration, the road accident fund, and the PRMG that was withheld and rolled over for KwaZulu-Natal. Unauthorized, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. We list the under unauthorized expenditure from 2013-14 up until the current annual report that we are considering. INATIS keeps on coming back in terms of this program. On to page 28 is the fruitless and wasteful expenditure amounting to $1.4 million, of which $546,945,000 for services paid for but which had not been rendered was underway at the time of reporting, and an overseas trip that had been taken that exceeded the authorization by $639,725. It was under investigation at the time of tabling the annual report. Irregular expenditure, a total of $123 million was declared irregular expenditure, and $121.5 thereof pertained to the prior years because of a contract that had been extended from the 1st of May for a period of 5 years. The measures that the department had put in place to deal with irregular expenditures listed under 3.5.4. Where appropriate, cases of irregular expenditure were referred to the department's legal services to determine whether any official can be held liable for the irregular expenditure. Cases of irregular expenditure referred to the department's directorate. Relevant managers are requested to take disciplinary steps against officials who make or permit irregular expenditure. The Bid Adjudication Committee will not consider condoning irregular expenditure until a legal opinion has been obtained. The Contract Management System monitors all payments against orders that are placed and will detect payments that exceed the contract value. Onto page 29, the contract management system will detect any payments that are approved processes for which no order was placed. Payments for all procurements must be processed via supply chain management. And to prevent the occurrence of not completing the internal order and requisition forms, the SEM component does not make any approval documents or letters of acceptance available until the internal order and requisition forms are completed. In terms of the report that members will request in the recommendations or have requested in the previous years, members should bear in mind or determine whether or not the measures that the department has listed will be sufficient. Or as soon as the department reports on their way forward, we just need to follow up and make sure whether or not they need further measures to strengthen the SEM process. We get to the findings of the Auditor General, which is a general statement by the AG on the financial statement submission. Asset management, proper control systems to safeguard and maintain assets were not implemented as required. On page 23, expenditure management, effective steps were not taken to prevent irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure as required. And this is a repeat finding. On internal control, the AG highlighted leadership issues, the slow response by leadership in implementing systems and processes to ensure proper record keeping. On the financial and performance management, the adequate systems and processes were not in place to ensure that the department obtained proper records of movable, tangible, and intangible assets, mainly linked to Inatus. On an overview and assessment of the program performance, starting at the bottom of page 30, onto page 31, there's annual performance targets. Members will see my note that I have there. The annual performance targets that Dr. Ngezi also worked through and highlighted the following. He highlighted that the targets achieved, targets partially achieved, and targets not achieved in terms of our report differs to what the department reports in the annual report because there was partial achievement, which they don't necessarily highlight in their annual report. So this is a table that is not a carbon copy of what is in the annual report of the department. This is an assessment through our research that we have included here. During the period under the review, the department had set itself 50 performance targets, and of these, 43 were achieved. Some of them were disturbable: the white paper on national rail policy, the draft national railway safety strategy, draft green transport strategy. The department finalized the development of the draft national road safety strategy. The NADP and NCAP were finalized. The reviewed rural transport strategy was finalized and presented to MNMEC. National learner transport policy was approved by Cabinet in May 2015 and published for implementation. And the green paper on the national maritime transport policy was presented to the International Cooperation Trading and Security Cluster in March. On to page 32, the challenges that were encountered are pointed out there, where Cabinet proposed that the department consult with PICC on NAPMAP further, that the department could not finalize the development of the Harris-Smith Hub framework, but developed a feasibility study and options analysis for the hub instead. The department could not finalize the road accident benefit scheme, which was intended to review the compensation model of victims of road accidents. So we have the RAF for a little while longer before we get wraps. On to the program performance. Program 1, administration. The table of targets here will be the same as the department reported it. Of the 8 performance targets the department set itself, it achieved 7. The target that was not achieved, onto page 33, was reduce the vacancy rate, which we hope will improve next year based on the minister's feedback and their discussions with Treasury. At the time of tabling the report, the department contended that it managed to fill 63 vacant posts. On the integrated transport planning, this is where the targets will change to what the department has in the annual report. According to our research, the targets achieved were 6 out of 9, and there was 1 partially achieved target. Under the integrated transport planning program, the department achieved 66.7% of its annual performance targets and spent almost 100% of the budget. During the year, the department undertook to have the private sector participation framework developed. However, at the time of reporting, it maintained that the final draft of the PSP framework had been developed. It can therefore not be said that the target was achieved as the final draft and not the PSP framework had been developed. It might be, might seem like semantics, but this is why the setting of the targets and the wording of the targets are so important in our APPs and strat plans. The targets that were not achieved was the final draft of NATMAP having been submitted to Cabinet. This we already saw that the date was going to change when we had the presentations on the strat plan and the APP of the department. On to page 34, the next one that wasn't finalized was the Harry Smith Hub framework development. We got an explanation from the department in the meeting on why they had changed it from a framework. On program 3 is another change to the targets according to how the department reported it. There was 4 out of 5 targets achieved in rail and 1 partial achievement. While the department met 100% of its annual performance targets in 2014-15, its annual performance in this program stood at 80% during the year under the review. The target that was partially achieved is the National Railway Safety Strategy developed. The department contended that the draft had been developed and that stakeholder consultation sessions on the draft had been held with PRASA and RSR. Program 4, page 35, road transport. The table is the same as the department had presented it. It achieved 90% of its annual performance targets in this the previous year and achieved 100% during the current year under review by using only 98.8% of the budget. On Program 5, civil aviation, the target and tables are the same as the department reported it. Achieved 100% of its annual performance targets and spent 96.6% of the budget allocation. On maritime transport, which goes over onto page 36, the table is again the same as the department reported it. Of the 8, it met 6 and spent 99.4% of the budget allocated to the maritime transport program. The targets that were not achieved were the green paper on national maritime transport policy submitted to Cabinet, and the cabotage policy for coastal, regional, and continental waters submitted to Cabinet. Then on Program 7, the table is again the same as the department reported it. Flows on to page 37 from there. It reported that it met all of its annual performance targets for this program. However, one of the targets set was to have the taxi recapitalization program review report submitted to Cabinet. At the time of reporting, the department asserted that the taxi recap program review report had been developed and that the submission of the report to Cabinet has been approved by the Minister. It's therefore not evident whether the TRP review report was indeed submitted to Cabinet, other than that it is submitted, its submission to Cabinet had been approved by the Minister. Then we go on to the human resource management, which is constantly a repeat finding not only in this department but in most departments. During the year under the review, the department had 862 posts on the approved establishment, and of these, 693 were filled. The vacancy rate stood at 19.6%. The highest vacancy rate was in Program 4, Road Transport. Vacancy rates under Program 5 and 6 followed with 22.7 and 20.9 respectively. At the end of the reporting period, the annual turnover rate within the department was 7.5%, which is down from 9.3%. The highest turnover rate was at the senior management services, which stood at 28%. The main reason listed for staff leaving the department was transfers, standing at 32%. Now, from point 6 on, regarding the observations, these are notes from both the research as well as the observations members made during the meetings. Just lists: on 30 September, the annual reports of the entities were on time and tabled to Parliament. The annual report of the department was late and was only tabled on 31 October. There was an improvement in the performance reporting of the department. However, for the first time in several years, it received a qualified audit with findings. The entities received the following findings: clean audits for CBRTA, RTMC, PRASA, and SACA. The unqualified with findings are SANRAL, ARTIA, DLCA, PRASA, RSR, AXA, RAF, and SAMHSA. Even though the DLCA is listed here under the entities, It's not technically listed as an entity in the department's annual report. It's the driver license card agency that they have. The portfolio's overall outcomes regressed due to the department receiving a financially qualified audit outcome with material findings on compliance with legislation and no findings on predetermined objectives. It was mainly due to Inatus assets disclosure. Key areas of material non-compliance relates to failure to prevent irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, asset management, and material misstatements to financial statements submitted for audit. In terms of progress in audit opinions, there was improvement in performance for RTMC and CBRTA. There was a stagnation in performance for SANRAL, RSR, SACA, SAMSA, PRASA, RTA. I see there's a duplication of PRASA there. AXA, and the driver license card account. And there was a decline in performance for the RAF. The portfolio's overall outcomes improved due to CBRTA and RTMC improving the audit outcomes from unqualified audit opinions with findings to unqualified audit opinions with no findings. There was a regression in the audit outcome for the RAF from unqualified audit opinion with no findings to unqualified audit opinion with findings on compliance with laws and regulations. The department showed a stagnation in compliance with legislation and regression in quality of financial statements. There was a further regression in the area of reliable performance reporting by the entities. As the AG indicated, it's on the SMART principles of the targets and the meeting of the targets and measurability of the targets. The annual performance plans of PRASA, RSR, SAMHSA, and SANRAL contain targets that were not specific, time-bound, and verifiable. Achievements reported by PRASA, RSR, RTA, and SAMHSA were either incorrect or not supported by appropriate sufficient evidence to confirm the accuracy and reliability thereof. The quality of the department itself's annual performance reports had, however, improved. Worth noting further is that the department's unauthorized and irregular expenditure decreased over 3 years and with the follow-up action that they had instituted. Page 39. For the entities, there was a slight improvement in the area of compliance with laws and regulations. The key areas of non-compliance remained SCM, resulting in repeated incurrences of irregular expenditure and material misstatements in the financial statements submitted for auditing. And then from the presentations and engagements, the committee noted those areas where improvements were evident, however concluded that the department and its entities had not been able to clear repeat findings through implementing all recommendations and corrective measures by the AG and those that the committee had made since the start of the current term. The department will need to focus more attention on ensuring that action plans are implemented to address prior year audit findings and that sustainable solutions are implemented to prevent the recurrence of findings in the areas of compliance with key applicable legislation and financial reporting. Vacancies and stability of leadership at the department continue to pose a significant challenge regarding the operations of the department and the creation of a control environment to ensure that the basic financial performance reporting and compliance with laws and regulations are enforced. Hopefully this will improve once the department fills the vacancies that they indicated had been advertised. We have specific focus on the following entities that appeared before the committee. SANRAL should be commended for receiving an unqualified audit opinion during the year under review. There is equally an imperative on the part of the entity to attend to repeat findings by the AG. SCOPA will be seeing SANRAL tomorrow to speak to them about their regular expenditure and find out what had happened there. PRASA should commit itself to implementing the modernization program for the commuter rail system with a view to transforming rail commuter services and making them reliable, safe, affordable, and comfortable in line with the vision of the NDP. Just for members to note, PRASA has to pay the three security companies in Cape Town today via the court order. So we can follow up on that as well. While the RSR should be commended for receiving an unqualified audit opinion, it should ensure that it attends to the issues raised by the AG regarding the setting of SMART targets and the evidence required to report on achievements of those targets. Going on to page 40, they also need compliance with the triple PFA and Treasury regulations, the prevention of irregular expenditure, compliance monitoring by SMS, which is lacking for targets achievements, and compliance with SCM policy and the high vacancy rate. While the RAF should be commended for receiving an unqualified audit opinion for the consecutive time, it should attend to the issues raised by the AG regarding the need to take effective steps to prevent irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. They also need to focus on SCM practices policy and the RAF's own financial misconduct policy, as well as the slow response by management in implementing effective controls to prevent repeat occurrences of irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. SAMHSA again should be commended for receiving an unqualified audit opinion during the year under review. By the same token, entities should put measures in place to respond to the deficiencies identified by the AG regarding excessive expenditure over the approved budget, the need to take effective steps to prevent irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which increased from previous years, compliance with SCM policy and the invitation of competitive bids, the effective implementation of HR management to ensure adequate and sufficient skilled resources are in place and that performance was monitored within the finance section as well as records management. They also have a need to develop and monitor the implementation of action plans to address internal control deficiencies, the lack of consequence management against officials who had incurred and permitted irregular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and regarding the duration of investigations into allegations of misappropriation of assets, which exceeds 2 years. In some instances, just for members to note on the two-year aspect, the labor courts are not kind to departments or entities that take over a year to investigate and finalize disciplinary matters, which at the end of the day appears that the officials end up getting away with it. The committee further raised the following observations on the significant emphasis of matters with regard to SANRAL, alternative tariff revenue to the amount of 6.1 billion for the Gauteng open road tolling has not been recognized in management's judgment, it is not probable that the economic benefits associated with the transaction would flow to the entity, and the amount of the revenue to be recognized could not be measured reliably. With regard to PROSA, the public entity was the applicant in lawsuits related to the purchase of locomotives and the integrated station access management solutions. The ultimate outcome of these matters could not be determined at the time of reporting. Furthermore, there was an impairment of rolling stock, 751 million, of which 715 relates to the impairment of the locomotives. Regarding the DLCA, the trading entity is a participant in arbitration proceedings with a former service provider, and the ultimate outcome of these matters could not be determined at the time of reporting. And on OXA, there were material write-offs to the amount of 72 million as a result of the asset verification project. On material misstatements to the financial statements, the accounting authority of SANRAL should exercise effective oversight over the implementation of action plans to address prior year audit findings, and consequence management should be enforced. A skills review at SAMHSA should be performed on the finance section. Based on this outcome, consideration should be given to either retraining or existing staff or appointing staff with the appropriate skills and competencies. On page 42, the accounting officer at DLCA should exercise effective oversight over the implementation of action plans to address prior year's findings. The accounting authority at PROSA should exercise effective oversight over the implementation of action plans, again, for previous year's statements. Members will see a lot of repetition comes in because the findings continue year on year with the entities. The accounting authority at OXA should also exercise effective oversight over the implementation of action plans. The committee noted the material misstatements to financial statements at the department, as well as the entities. The root causes were again identified as key officials lacking appropriate competencies and slow responses by management. The committee further noted that the root causes for these statements at the department were identified by the AG as a lack of consequence of poor performance and transgressions and vacancies in key positions. On the predetermined objectives, management in the department as well as the entities should ensure that it is possible to validate the process and systems that produce the indicator to enable them to produce the required evidence supporting their reported performance. The committee also noted that a lack of specific set targets by entities, a lack of verifiable evidence on performance, as well as a lack of consequences for poor performance and transgressions were the root causes for the findings at the department and the identified entities. On page 43, compliance with legislation, SANRAL is highlighted there regarding the lack of ensuring that competitive bids are advertised in at least the government tender bulletin as it is cheaper, medium, and is accessible to the majority of potential bidders. Management should put systems and processes in place to monitor compliance with SCM. SANRAL should further have compliance checklists that detail the compliance requirements for each, and these checklists should be reviewed through the procurement process. They must also ensure that they comply with Treasury regulations and that it's done timeously to ensure fair, equitable procurement processes. With ARTIA, there's a need to ensure the recurring non-compliance is investigated and appropriate action against transgressors are taken. The DLCA, management should establish their own policies and procedures aligned to the framework for managing performance information in the PFMA to ensure that performance reporting requirements are properly processed. With PRASA, management should ensure that Treasury regulations are complied with as well. Requests for quotation should be done timely and ensure a fair, equitable procurement process. They also need checklists, as we highlighted with SANRAL. The next page, with regard to AXA and similar with PRASA, management should formulate compliance checklists that detail compliance requirements. They should be reviewed through the procurement process. Members of the relevant committee and the chairperson should satisfy themselves that all service providers are recommended. With regard to RSR, management should include the declaration part in the tender document and perform adequate reviews of the supplier documents submitted to ensure that all the documents are present. With regard to SAMHSA, the entity should implement monitoring controls to ensure budget is available before commitment expenditure. They also need to monitor their SCM processes. On page 45, the RAF had a recurring non-compliance that needed to be investigated and appropriate action should be taken against the transgressors. On human resources, we looked at the HR vacancy rates for the entities as well as the department. As at 31 March, annual turnover rate with the department was 7.5. This is also linking us back up to the performance of Program 1 and administration. The committee requested that the department ensure that all funded and critical vacancies are filled as soon as possible, and also requested that the department and RSR report back to the committee regarding their plans to reduce the vacancy rate and ensure retention policies are in place. On the irregular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure from 45 to 46, a total of 123 million declared irregular, 121 thereof pertain to priority years, previous years. Another 55,803 was declared as irregular expenditure relating to previous years regarding advertisements that had been placed without following procedures. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure amounted to 1.4 million. The cost of Innatus is listed again. The committee requested that the department brief the committee on the state of affairs of the investigations that were underway at the time of reporting. The committee further noted that the Constitutional Court judgment against Tasima was still reserved at the time of the meeting with the department, but noted that it would have a significant impact on the findings regarding Innatus going forward. Then in red, I just added, because the judgment came in the day after the meeting, to say that the judgment was handed down on 9 November, effectively stating that Tasima must hand over all Innatus assets and operations to the department. If members would like to leave the notice on the judgment in there, we can just change the color from red to black and keep it in there, or we can do add a paragraph from the summary of the judgment to make it more focusing on the full issue, where they said if the transfer plan was in place, it had to be done within a specific time frame. If that was not in place, there was a separate time frame that the court had indicated for the handover. The committee noted that the department, SANRAL, PRASA, RSR, RAF, and SAMHSA did not take effective and appropriate steps to prevent irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. In all instances, there was a finding that effective and appropriate disciplinary action must be taken against officials who incurred and or permitted irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. Going on to page 47, the committee highlighting that the AG report and audit outcomes of the department entities, supply chain management. The committee noted the lack of effective controls to ensure compliance with internal policies with regard to supply chain, and the AG's findings in this regard for the department and the entities. The committee noted that the main root causes of these findings were key officials lacking appropriate competencies as well as the need to implement and apply an appropriate checklist for compliance with these policies. On ITC, the committee noted that the department still had a need to establish an information technology governance framework that supports and enables the business, delivers and improves performance. At PROSA, the AG found there was a slow response by senior management to review and update the IT strategy. On legislative delays during interactions with the department in 2014-15 and 15-16 financial years, the committee reiterated the impact of delays in the processing of legislation on the department and entities, especially as it was hindering some entities from executing their mandates. Important in terms of that aspect is STAR and the RAPS bill. Financial health of the entities, carrying over onto page 48. As far as the going concern status of entities is concerned, the following observations were made. With regard to SAMHSA, the total liabilities exceeded total assets by 74 million. These conditions, along with other matters, indicate the existence of a material uncertainty that may cast significant doubt on the entity's ability to operate as a going concern. With regard to CBRTA, the agency's total liabilities exceeded its total assets by 220 million. These conditions, along with other matters, indicate the existence of a material uncertainty that may cast significant doubt on the entity's ability to operate as a going concern. With regard to PROSA, significant net loss amounting to 26 million was incurred by the subsidiary, and it was attributed to the budgeted revenue from property investments, third-party projects, and commercial projects not materializing. We have yet to find out what the outcome of the litigation on PROSA's matters, how that will affect next year's statements as well. With regard to the RAF, there was uncertainty as to whether the entity would be able to fund its future obligations as it had incurred and accumulated a deficit amount, a staggering 145 billion, with a total of liabilities exceeding total assets. Investigations. With regard to PROSA, the accounting authority commissioned a forensic investigation by an independent firm into procurement matters, including those previously reported on by the AG during 2014-15 and by the public protector. Investigations were still in progress. Public Protector issued her report on allegations and tender irregularities between 2010 and 2012 and August 2015. Some matters regarding these allegations were not finalized when the report was issued. Investigations are still ongoing. Furthermore, National Treasury also instituted forensic investigations into approximately 100 contracts and awards in accordance with the remedial action recommended by the Public Protector. They were also still in progress. The Hawks are also investigating 39 cases reported by PRASA in terms of the Prevention of Combating of Corrupt Activities Act, and the investigation was also still in progress. With regard to SANRAL and SAMHSA, an independent consulting firm was appointed by the Accounting Authority to perform an investigation into an allegation of possible misappropriation of the entity's assets. The investigation covers the period from the 1st of April 2014 to the time of reporting, and the outcome was still expected, or was expected, by the end of August 2016. With regard to RTMC, investigation pertaining to the fraud case had not been finalized, and the matter is still pending before the courts. With regard to AXA, Accounting Authority has commissioned an independent investigation on alleged irregularities in procurement of contract management processes, and at the time of reporting, it was also still pending. The committee requested that the department brief the committee on the state of affairs of the investigations that were underway at the time of reporting. On performance of the department, the committee noted the impact that the reserve judgment on Inatus had on the audit outcome and noted with concern that the AG regulations and auditing requirements taken the effect of reserving judgments regarding assets into account. As the AG indicated, they don't take those judgments into account when they do their audits. The department would have in all likelihood received an unqualified audit opinion as it had done in the previous 9 years. Then we get to all the recommendations. This is where we need members' guidance on whether or not we need to include the recommendations we made in the budget vote and the strat plan reports. I don't know if members want me to go through those ones. We'd already adopted the reports and submitted them. I think I'll go down to our other recommendations? On page 52, we also listed the recommendations made by the AG. This is also a new inclusion. If members would like to leave the AG recommendations there, we can leave them there, or we can just keep the committee recommendations. But the AG recommended that there should be regular monitoring of the action plans to ensure that the identified deficiencies are addressed to avoid repeat findings and continued non-compliance. The committee should request management to provide feedback on the implementation and progress of the action plans during a quarterly report. Regular assessments of the status of internal controls, especially regarding financial statements and performance reporting, preparation and filling of key vacant posts to ensure stability of leadership, must be undertaken by management to address deficiencies as and when they arise. The committee should request management to provide quarterly feedback on these. The accounting officers or authorities should intensify their focus on ensuring that transgressors are held accountable and that action is taken as required by the PFMA. Action taken against repeat transgressors should also be done in a timely manner. Processes should be established to ensure that invitation for competitive bids are advertised in at least the government tender bulletin. Management should put systems and processes in place to monitor compliance with SCM regulations. Management should formulate compliance checklists that detail the compliance requirements for each requirement. SANRAL should explain why repeat findings have not been addressed. Management should ensure that Treasury regulations are complied with. Requests for quotations should be done timely. Management should exercise oversight responsibility over financial and performance reporting as well as compliance and related internal controls. Latest developments regarding an investigation by the public protector into allegations of maladministration and irregular procurement processes pertaining to Gauteng e-tolling contracts need to be reported on by SANRAL. Also, just linking to the GFIP construction, there was a report in the newspapers that SANRAL is not going to follow the civil claims procedure against those companies that have been found to have colluded, and that there was a settlement agreement negotiated with those companies. It should be underscored that the AG has been identifying transgressions and or deficiencies pertaining to process procurement and contract management, as early as 2011-12. Process should therefore explain why it has not addressed its procurement and contract management since then. Put differently, they should provide the reasons why repeat control deficiencies have not been or are not being addressed. The following measures should be put in place to create an environment that is conducive to compliance with legislation. Key commitments made to implement the AG's recommendations to address the root causes should be implemented. Control processes should be adhered to at all times when procuring goods and services. There should be proper record keeping and information supporting those compliance. Consequence management for staff members who fail to comply with applicable legislation should be implemented. The applicable PRASA SCM prescripts should be complied with. On to page 54, senior management should address document management systems. In addition, it should attend to financial and performance reporting discipline. Management should exercise oversight responsibility pertaining to financial and performance reporting, as well as compliance and related internal controls. Management should implement effective HR management to ensure that adequate and significant skills resources are in place to perform those tasks and monitored. Management should ensure and communicate policies and procedures to enable and support the understanding and execution of internal control objectives. PRASA should implement proper record keeping in a timely manner to ensure that complete, relevant and accurate information is accessible and available. It should be highlighted that the RSR has been faring well as far as compliance with legislation is concerned. This has been the case since 2010-11. The entity should therefore give the root causes of its performing badly in this area during the year under review. The RSR should review and monitor compliance with applicable legislation. They should indicate whether it has consequence management for staff members who fail to comply with applicable legislation, and the RSR must develop, implement, and action plan to address the above-mentioned audit findings. Notwithstanding the fact that the vacancy rate at the RSR was 64%, it achieved 90% of its performance targets. This means either that the targets that the entity had set itself were too low, or staff may have been overburdened. RSR should present a retention strategy to the committee. While the RAF contends that the number and type of irregular expenditure had improved from 61%, and that this reduction confirms the efficiency or efficacy of management interventions and a confirmed reduction is expected, there is still room for improvement as the irregular expenditure incurred during the year under review is still exorbitant. There is therefore a need for stringent adherence to SEM prescripts. On page 55, SAMHSA should implement the action plan to address prior audit findings. They should enhance performance and consequence management, and they should report on ongoing investigations to the committee on a quarterly basis. Getting to the proposed committee recommendations, essentially as indicated earlier, these are carbon copies of the previous year's recommendations. The advertising and filing of vacant posts should be prioritized in the department and the affected entities. The department should strengthen its oversight over entities and report on progress made to remedy all matters raised by the AG in its audit reports. Effective steps should be implemented to prevent irregular expenditure. Officials who incurred these expenditures should be duly disciplined. Proper record keeping should be implemented for information supporting compliance and procurement process and implement consequence management. The department and entity should capacitate their finance and SEM departments with appropriately skilled and competent personnel to prepare credible financial statements. Furthermore, management should ensure that information used to prepare financial statements is accurate and reliable. Staff should be retrained and reskilled to ensure that they comply with this legislation. Control processes should be adhered to in the SEM process. There should be consequences for poor performance and failure to comply. The AG recommendations to address root causes should be implemented. The department should develop funding plans to ensure financial stability of the entities and should provide the committee with quarterly updates on strategies to improve the financial health of PRASA, CBRTA, RAF and SAMHSA, as there were uncertainty as to whether they would be able to fund their future obligations. The department should monitor and engage with its provincial counterparts on the implementation of the PRMG to ensure the money is used for its intended purposes as an extension of the two-way key performance indicator. On page 56, there's a summary of reporting requests where the committee requests additional information from the department. This is basically a time frame that the committee sets for the department's reports and when these are required and from who. The department should submit an action plan to address the findings of the AG. The department is responsible for this. We are requesting it by 15 December 2016 or proposed date. The department should submit quarterly reports on investigations underway. These should be done within 60 days of the adoption of the report by the National Assembly. The department should submit quarterly reports on strategies to address financial health of the CBRTA, the RAF, and SAMHSA. This should also be done, the quarterly reports, within 60 days of the adoption of the report by the National Assembly. Also, the financial health of PRASA is included under that list, and PRASA should report quarterly on inroads made into the implementation of the Rolling Stock Modernization Program, which the committee is constantly requesting in any event. This report should be done within 60 days of adoption of this report by the National Assembly. The committee, in conclusion, would ensure that the AG's recommendations are implemented by the department. The committee would further request regular feedback from the department on key issues impacting entities as identified through the oversight process. And the committee would like to acknowledge the department and entities for presentation made on the annual reports and financial statements. And as a general, the committee normally applauds achievements. We just need the committee's input on that aspect as well, and the reports to be considered.
Chairperson, I love to give everything. Yes, you are here now. Colleagues, that is the end of the presentation of the routine of our work for the last period. So let me hear, before I give it to the chairperson, maybe from our team, whether there's any addition, Dr. Angus.
No, at this stage there will be no addition, given that this was a collaborative work.
Over to you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, honorable members. There we are. Oh, let's welcome the fight. You're tired of fighting for the land. That's why today you come and rest here. Honorable member, you are in trouble. He's going to slaughter you. Honorable members, there we are, the report. Let me outright say to the team, thank you very much. This is very elaborate report, which actually, if the department can be able to follow it to the letter, they will be able to be one of the best departments, because it's clear. Are there inputs that members would like to make? I've seen Honorable Khadebe, Honorable Humsinga, Honorable De Freitas. We'll all speak. Let me start with Honorable Khadebe.
No, Chair, thanks very much. Mine, Chair, is to maybe put an emphasis that where they've returned the, or where they shared it in the wedding, where it's read, especially where it speaks around the issue of the judgment on Tasima. Get them just effected as it is, but in black and white, done around the red. I think almost it's a beautiful work that has been done, but I guess also the effect of ensuring that this report is a very conclusive report must have also all the other issues that were suggested to be put in that they should be. Being that as it is, I think as well putting the financials of 2013-14 and 15-16, it's still relevant as well. We cannot take away anything because the intention is not to make this thing shorter, but is to also emphasize, to show where the department, you know, couldn't be able to do well, or where it had repeated findings. I think it also reflects very well there, but it also shows that there's also an improvement in terms of their performance. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. A proposal which we'll deal with at the end from Honorable Khadebe, that the proposed Tasima judgment be part of the report in full. Honorable Humsinga.
Thank you, Chief. What's wrong, colleague?
No, waiting in the place.
Yeah, we must use all the paper we get. Part of our pro-green policy. But they say...
But they say, just as a matter of interest, that in South Africa in particular, 70% of what's used to manufacture paper is sugarcane pulp. In other words, the pulp is left out of the manufacturing of sugar. So we're not really killing trees.
That's why we can write on places. I think we should be a bit more specific on the seesaw riding issue of STAR, the single regulatory economic regulator thing, because it seems to be a matter of sort of when it's convenient it's part of the program, when the pressure comes in terms of performance, then in a way it's just sort of the indication is that it's not part of the program anymore. So I think we should be a bit more specific there. especially because we have serious budget constraints. The whole idea in having a single economic regulator makes a lot of sense. Obviously, this might be part of our whole transition process, but then I think we must be a bit harder on, you know, whether this is on or off. It can't be seesawed like this. I also have a concern about the variments in the light of being serious about drawing up a budget. You can't just then at the end when you see things don't work out have an unlimited number of variments. There are specific financial rules about this, and I would also like to see that this committee is a bit more serious about budget allocations and the promises which is linked to those budget allocations, and be a bit harder on allowing variments. Then there was 3.1 under financial performance, the question whether other elements should be included for the sake of comparisons. I would argue that it is important since this is a midterm budget review, so therefore it has great relevance to compare, and for that reason also include other components. The unfunded mandate around the Maloto corridor is also a concern, because the whole message and the way it comes across being defined as an unfunded mandate is not taken up very well. And then the whole issue around also supplying or allowing or budgeting for rail. I know there was this argument between certain ministers that need to get together with Treasury in order to budget for rail. I think the committee should have a firm stance on this. We have enough roads, we have enough vehicles on roads, and the Maloto Corridor rail project just makes so much sense, and I would like to see this committee take a firm stance on that, irrespective of what anybody says about this. I was forced to leave early, but I had a particular question on the road grant and the rollover of funds on KZN, which I know is something specific and not a relevant issue in this argument, but what is the criteria around rollovers? And were those criteria met? Because in a way we are creating and setting a precedent in the way that this particular matter has been dealt with that might create issues under similar circumstances. So if the criteria wasn't met, then I would argue that the specific one which is mentioned in this budget, which involves a large amount in KZN under the roads grant, that this must be highlighted and said why this was allowed, just to protect us in future. In general, still a big lack of consequence management, a lot of issues around supply chain management. So I would also like to see recommendation from the committee which is a lot more firmer in terms of involvement and particular competency training for staff in supply chain management. The impression which it creates is quite different from the reasons that you get department for department. So therefore, I would argue that the committee should recommend, say, a task team of some sort that would make sure that there's a upskill in specifically supply chain management. Then in terms of the Inatus Tasima judgment, very relieved that it's finally over. I would argue that it should not be included on page 46 where you've drafted that section, but that it should be added to paragraph 6.7, which for me it has more application, because there one could expand where there's a particular relevance if we only include it in page 46, because it's more than just the final judgment. We're dealing with a principle thing, or a matter of issue of principle, in a broader sense, because it can happen to other departments, even other entities, where you have a hanging judgment and that forces you to have a particular structure in your financial delivery, whether it's a report or a statement, simply because it can count against you and used as evidence against you in the court. So therefore, this could be a best practice, if you like, of in terms of an example and a request then to Treasury or Attorney General to give guidance on what one should do in circumstances like this, where you have a particular asset that you know would and could go in terms of the judgment, it could be sort of the instruction to allocate it in a different way, but that because of financial rules you are forced to do it in a particular way that might count against you. Those are all my questions. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable
Khatere.
Sorry, Chair. Where in page 46 is it supposed to go to? Was this page 46 human resource and irregular expenditure? Is that where it's supposed to go?
It is noted in a different colour on page 46. Second last paragraph. But my recommendation would be to not include it there, but to include it under paragraph 6.7, which is way further down, but where you would have the ability then to elaborate on it and to then add it in as an example with a query to Treasury and the Attorney General. Chair, there's this another one on page 54, paragraph 24. Where percentages 61 and 33 and 13 are mentioned, just a cosmetic thing that the percentage symbol also be included after 33 and 13. And that's all for now.
Thank you, Chair. first of all, thank you to Edward Nell for a very excellent document. I'd like to recommend that the parts in green, there's a question that she had in her document, as to include it or not, I would recommend that it be included. And also that, Chair, my suggestion is to you and the committee that we actually, I believe this document is so good that we should use it as a reference document for our work in the coming months in the new year, because in a way the advocate has tracked it for us in saying, I mean, if you read through it, a lot of the recommendations, quite honestly, the departments have ignored. And I think it's time that we actually analyse these recommendations, which are very easy to do because they've been mapped out for us in this document and on the spreadsheet in the other document, and that we put it as part of our programme, if I may suggest, would be bold, super bold to suggest, and put it in a programme in the new year and then go to these various entities and actually challenge them to say, why are these things not being met? Otherwise, that's all my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I stand to commend the writers of the report, at least it's informative. Thank you very much. I would like to talk to the issue where you were having a recommendation around the issue of Moloto Rail Corridor. I stand to be corrected, but I was trying to propose a situation where even private sector funding can be recommended so that it be sourced. I'm not sure whether it can fit in the report that way. And I am again worried about the issue of what you are saying about the targets. I'm worried because there are situations where you see the target as very soft, where the department sometimes sets itself or an entity just for targets. I'm not sure whether I were correct to recommend to put more specs on the issue of targets, because there are times when you see out of four targets, only three will be met. Was the four targets enough to be set? I'm not sure how we can phrase that to put more focus or more consideration to the issue of targets. There is somewhere, I'm not sure, because your page is there on the on your, are not the same as the ones here, because here you have you have a single page, and there when you say 40 something, here on the paper it's something different. That's what I was settling to. But there's somewhere in the document where you refer to, it is on page 33. It's point 3.6.41. Where, let me check 33 here. I want to read it. It does not sit well with me when you say, when the topic is leadership, when you say instability in leadership, my proposal would be, if we agree as a committee, if we, that issue relates to management or whatever, we put it that way, not leadership, because to me, leadership refers to politicians, not the other way around. It must be the administrative, because if you read that, it directs you to the management of the department, not the leadership in the department. That is on page 33. I agree with the presenter where, when she was saying they have used acronyms, at least it must be explanatory. There must be a page that explains that. Otherwise, to me, the report is well prepared and well structured. I am also worried where there is a point where a situation where liabilities exceed the total assets. I'm not sure whether can we have a recommendation around that issue. There are two entities where I think it's RAF and CBRTE, where the liabilities exceed the total assets. When I was looking at the report, I was impressed. Thank you very much.
Honorable Blausi.
No, thanks, Chairperson, and the land, and not for now. So, and thanks to the advocate for presentation, but I wanted, some of the issues were cleared by the members. So, Chairperson, the issue of HR, I understand the report is not mentioned, but I have a little bit concerned about the issue which is happening on HR in the department, because some of the issues were briefed, some were not, as members of the committee. Like the issue of the former acting HOD Mawetu, we never get any briefing about what happened. And the current HOD, Mugriti, everything. No. So, you failed to take the land. So, I mean, sometimes on the HR issue must be briefed, because the drastic step which they did the department by shifting the CFO to Prasa to act there and leave the department without CFO with a huge budget like this, and then we have an acting CFO and everything. But the report I agree with, but we need to be informed in full,
Then on the issue of RAF, you said the RAF issue, the expenditure is more than, the liability is more than the asset. And when I check also the figures, I can see, but does it means the RAF is under insolvent. If so, it must be clearly so that if it's insolvent, it must be clearly mentioned. Page 49 about the RTMC fraud cases has not yet been finalized. I don't know which fraud cases is this. Maybe you can a little bit explain more. Thank you.
Balaudi, if you are you are regular in meetings, some of these things were dealt with in the previous meetings that were not there. That's why this one he attacks you based. yeah, Honorable Maswangai.
No. Thank you, Chairperson. And welcome the report. Chairperson, we are very hard on PRASA when they come here. I think we should be hard on SANRAL. I don't know that there is a settlement between SANRAL and companies which were alleged to have been involved in collusion. I thought it's a case that's still with competition. I'm not sure that... Something at another level. It's new. Was it reported here, Jabba?
No.
So, we should not be seen to be hard-handed on one entity and apply a different standard for another entity. We'll be caught up in a situation where we're not seen to be consistent. SANRAL should come in and tell us what happened. This, if GFIP is causing problems, politically, financially, it's a problem. Now we are told that there is a settlement. What is its implication? Financially, and to me, politically. They must come here, Chairperson. And the same applied that there is a public protector report which the AG says there is maladministration and irregular procurement pertaining to it all. We must go deep into this report. Because what I'm saying, Jefferson, we have been dealing with other entities and wanted them to account for whatever it is alleged about them. So I'll request at some stage, might not be this year, it's getting late. The year is late in the afternoon. Probably when we come back, that SANRAL should come and brief us on this maladministration. And we do the same like we do with PRASA and others. There is somewhere in under 7, let's say, RTMC should be commended for reducing fatalities during 2016. I don't think RTMC reduces fatalities. This is a societal matter. We should find a way of phrasing it because it's not the one entity's responsibility. So the phrasing will be caught up there. So RTMC, amongst others, contribute to the reduction. But you can't just attribute it to one entity. And then, and lastly, Chairperson, I think, as I've said, we acknowledge the report. What should be further done under in terms of drafting? If you look at 7, it should be improved. Because it says recommendations, observations and recommendations from, there are many observations and recommendations. Minister, AG, and where it is observations it's like it's recommendations. It should be properly drafted. There should be 7.1 where it's clear these are observations or findings. Then there should be clarity that the following, therefore, are recommendations from the committee and from the AG. But the way it is now, you have to go through the report to put aside the observations and put aside the recommendations. So let there be further cleaning up of the report. So be that as it may, I'm largely covered by colleagues on other issues. Thanks, Chairperson.
Honorable Ramatlakane.
No, thank you, Honorable Chair. Well, I also echo the colleagues on the team has produced a good report, although it's an intimidating one when you have to read it at night. So it's. But Chair, quickly, a few things. On page 38, you have two bullets that identify the clean audit unqualified. You don't have a small bullet that identify qualified ones, because in the case of us who have a department that has been qualified, even though in the narrative below you then start going into reasons, you don't have a short bullet that gives the reader a clear indication of what you're talking about. There was clean, qualified, unqualified. And then going, I'll just go through the pages as I have them. And on page 49, it's under the investigation. The heading 6.6 deals with investigation. I think the paragraph is correct as it stands, but it has to be qualified. You do remember that where the issue about the investigation, particularly the Prasa Werksmann investigation, we have raised a concern that there seems to be budget overrun on that particular investigation. So I think at the bottom or the end of that, I think we should indicate a concern that the committee expressed on the non-budgeted items of that investigation, that the cost overrun of it is hovering at 100 million currently as we speak, but we don't have a budget for it. That's one area I think we should add on the report. Page 50, I agree with the Honorable Joe. The recommendations, as I was reading them, I think you should change the color so that part becomes part of the report. But you must recast some of the sentence, because some of the sentences are really the observation, but they are under the heading called observation. On two, this unfunded mandate. I don't know, Chair, whether this is useful. The NDP makes an emphasis on the accessibility of long-distance rail, which mainland or Shosholoza Mail is that responsibility. I don't know whether we need to add on that too, which is an observation. This point, the very fact that this unfunded mandate ran contrary to the requirement or the directives of the NDP with respect to accessibility on the long-distance rail. I think we've raised that already with the department, that you have this issue the 600 million you're talking about, but NDP suggests that there must be, you are running infrequent rail, but an NDP says you must run those services because it caters for poor people. So that's one. At the bottom where you say the committee recommends that the minister ensures, it deals with the MOU issue. We have repeatedly been raising the issue that it's not only the oversight or monitoring with respect to the provinces. There are 13 cities, metro cities, where a bulk of the money goes into. So when you talk about monitoring there of the transferring agency, you should be able to bring in the metros as well, because they get the bulk of the budget. On page 51, number 4, it's now on the recommendation. It also deals on the unfunded mandate. I don't know where was, but we had had a discussion at some of the committee meeting, and a strong argument that was presented by the acting DG that this unfunded mandate, it is a shell that was brought to them by Transnet during the transfer of assets. And they emphasize that we need to have this joint discussion with both the department and EAs around this issue, because they gave them what is was on the verge of collapse. So I don't know whether it would make sense if we were to make a comma after mainline and do make a point that whilst we are saying it's an unfunded mandate, that is a result of the whole transfer of asset which require an attention, because I think that issue still require attention. I think it will help us going forward when we engage with the other committees about this. And then if I proceed, I wrote China Rail here, and I don't know why I was writing China Rail. Oh, that was Moloto. Next one. It was at night, so so China, I said Moloto Rail, and then China Rail. I smooth behavior. I wasn't sure that I remember that the minister in one of the briefing of the committee, the past one where she appeared on the department budget, she did mention that Moloto Rail Corridor, it's now hallelujah that because they have signed an agreement with China Rail, the MOU with China Rail. Now, I know that it's a process to an agreement. So there are steps to be walked into that. So I don't know whether we should not acknowledge that issue of the report in terms of this, because it's located under this issue about budget and allocation and no budget, no money and so on. That then on page 52, Chair, and I'm sorry that I'm wasting time of the available time of members here. This is a recommendation 13 that 5 acting director generals. The small point I want to bring here is still correct that we say so, but again, in our last engagement with the minister, she disagreed with this interpretation that the austerity measures meant that they are unable to fill the vacant positions of the DDGs. So I wrote here, while this big paragraph suggests that, I said, but the minister disagreed with the interpretation of freezing of the critical post. So, advocate and a good doctor, I think you were there. Somehow we need to bring I think we need to clarify this thing that every time the department appears, they say we can't fill this position because we are told not to. And the minister interpretation says, no, it is not correct to say that it is these are funded posts, these are DDG posts that must be filled. So I think we should do that. I agree the recommendation of the Auditor General should be part of it, because this is a pulling together of one document, all other issues in one. My last comment is on page 55. Just two things. 7.1, or maybe the heading, is this recommendation to the minister or the recommendation to be implemented by the department for which the minister is the head of? So the heading here is that the minister must ensure the following. I think technically we should try and just write it differently. So why we want to isolate the minister that when we have accounting officer that has to do this? So that's a small point. But 7.1, should we not say the whole thing about filling of vacant post in the department and prioritization of it, that as a committee, we need to get a report within 90 days of the adoption of this report and quarterly thereafter? Because I think we need to be kept briefed as what is happening with the appointment of the DG this, DDG this, DDG that. Then on the 7.3, this is a standalone issue about the targets. You'd remember, Chair, that when we met with the department, there was a litany of questions that we gave them around the targets and the targets and contradiction between the budget book and their targets in terms of the APP and the five-year strategic plan. So I was thinking, Chair, that perhaps we could add the one recommendation that speaks directly to that issue to say that the department should review their departmental budget and ensure that these targets are meeting the SMART principles. I think it's a shorthand, not going back to what we have said before, that we have, when we had a discussion with them. So that's the sum total of my comments. The last one, Chair, is this issue about the TASIMA and eNetis. I've heard you talking about where it needs to be captured. Now, I was wondering, when did we discuss it? When did we discuss that subject as the committee in order for us to come to the determination that it should be included in the BRRR report? I don't remember, maybe because I've got two committees, I was in another committee when it was discussed. I'm subject to correction, Chairs, but I hear the elaboration. I think it's a mistake. We're excited about it because it closed the chapter. But does it need to be included into the BRRR report when we as a committee has not gone through a process of, we have soundbite of it. Let me leave it there, Chair. I don't want to get into, you understand what I'm saying. My voice is a minority voice because I was not here. But the question I'm asking is a procedural question. When did we discuss it in order for it to find expression, elaborative expression to add on into our BRRR report? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sibani.
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. Again, it is advantageous to come late. Chairperson, I wanted to raise few. Just, but first of all, to commend our team about this job, which is very, very, very advanced. But number one, do we all remember about the task which was given by the president about the issue of job creation? Time and again, when we met with different entities, we were asking them about the issue of job creation, that how many jobs have you created? I think our report is silent about it. Nothing has been said in any rate. And again, Chairperson, I think I'm a little bit concerned with the 3.2.7 about issue of the public transport, in particular taxi recap. Chairperson, my worry is that it is silence. It's a snake which doesn't have a tail and a head, which is continuously so. I think we're supposed to have any recommendation on that one. And then also some way about this thing of Shova Kalula. I can recall very well Mamklik was so anxious about it most of the time. I don't know whether are we achieving anything or not. And how much have we spent about it? Because when it was presented, it has a picture as if it's going to create a lot of jobs where people to repair those bicycles or not. But we don't know what happened. I don't know why do we keep it now. And another worry, Chairperson. Honorable Member Ramatlakana, he raised the thing of distrusting my judgment, but I think the angle which we can come in with about the hanging judgments, how many are they, against whom? Because we were told that a lot of, I'll put an example, if you can recall very well the issue of Prasa. They told us about investigation, and also there are a lot of financial implications in that regard. Protect me, Chairperson, from the freedom fighter. Maybe he's thinking about the speed trap.
So, Chairperson, you are protected.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, also, the issue of targets. Yes, they've touched the issue of targets. There is a thing which was raised by Honorable Member Maswangai, that we mustn't look at Prasa only. You are right, Honorable Member Maswangai. I'll put an example. Somehow you spoke about the issue of Mthatha Airport projects. But to me, it's not enough, because if you talk about projects, you can be security guards only, while in some of the issues which we raise. I agree with you, Asamari, but just in the concern. When we arrived in Mthatha, there was no beacon. Also, there were no lights. If it's raining, if there is a mist, it was very difficult for the planes to land. Moreover, the security alone. And then also, Chairperson, what is worrying me, which we left again, do you still remember with, I think it's Prasa then, about the project of Dinota, about the plant? They told us about the plant, they told us about funds, but since then, nothing came. I don't know how to put it, but it's supposed to be there because it was mentioned as part of the job which was there, the denota project. Lastly, there was an argument about the issue of the trains and the heads of the train which are not suitable in our environment. I'll leave it there, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Sibande. There are several issues that members have raised, which probably we believe to need to improve on, issues that have been raised by Honorable Masangani and Honorable Ramadakan. But I also want to say, in terms of the BRASA investigations, but let me rather say investigations in totality, we are in the midterm. We need to check as to since then, up until now, how many investigations were made, how far have we the department progressed in that regard, what were the outcomes, are there an impact in terms of these investigations towards realizing the ideal and the objectives of the department. To me, that is what is very, very important. But also to say, when one was reading through the report, civil aviation is doing the watch, where they're paying Telkom a lot of money in terms of the watch that they're doing at sea. And you also have maritime doing almost something similar to that. Is it not possible that we are able to make recommendation to say these two entities should be able to look in terms of complementing one another so that you are able to really have value for money for this that is happening in the sea? Because I know that maritime came with sea rescue at some stages to the portfolio committee to say they don't have sufficient funding in terms of making sure that they are able to do the watch at sea. But civil aviation is also doing something similar to that. Let's look at how we can be able to deal with that so that we are able to look at how best we can be able to, the department can be able to complement one another. I would want to lastly say the department has got massive transfers which are being done. It's almost 99% of the budget that gets transferred. But there are no monitoring mechanisms which actually can be able to say, this is what, when we transfer to the municipalities, whether it's BRT, whether it's road maintenance, this is how we are able to monitor and evaluate how this grant is being used at that particular level, at municipal level, at provincial level. We were in Northwest, where the department would tell you that we have transferred 800 million for road maintenance, and then you even get told that this bridge and this road and that road were budgeted for in that particular money. But there is no value for money on the ground that you see, precisely because of lack of monitoring mechanisms. And I think we need to look into those issues, which actually we should say, in previously we said that there is a need to have somebody or a unit that can be able to coordinate the work of the department in the parastatals, within the parastatals, with as funds are being transferred, but that doesn't seem to be taking shape, such that when you talk to the grants that are being transferred, you cannot be able to pinpoint and say this indeed is what the funds have been utilized for. much the same as when we talk to issues of violence. Somebody has already spoken to the issues of violence. It's a cause for concern because it looks like the department somewhere puts money into a particular program, knowing very well that this program will not be able to utilize this money to the fullest. And come the third quarter or the second quarter, they are able to do a environment into where they believe this body will be able to be utilized. So these are the issues that we also should be able to say. We are concerned about these environments which are happening. Much as it is done for a good cause, but you cannot be able to have that situation where from time to time you seem to be doing environment of very big money, 79 million and all these things. If it's environment which is a stopgap measure, it's to me very, very well. And lastly, the question of the transfers of a shell from Transnet to PRASA. I think this should also be highlighted, that we make a recommendation to the minister, but also we should also make a recommendation to ourselves as the portfolio committee that we need to meet with the portfolio committee on public enterprises, because not only is the challenge with PRASA, we've got the Ports Authority that is also having serious problems in terms of what the assets that are in the ambit of Transnet, which makes the Ports Authority unable to have access towards. But when you look at Transnet, it's not only the Shosholoza Mail. You've got the train stations. You've got PRASA having to pay to use the railway for this. These are the things that we must lift up and highlight and be able to say we would want the executing authorities of both entities talking to this matter. But maybe we should also even elevate it to the PICC. Because this is an infrastructure matter, which is becoming a challenge. We cannot be able to say we want freight to be removed from the roads into the railway. When when freight happens, the passengers will be stopped somewhere to allow freight to come first. Who comes first between cattle and maize and people? Because in some instances, people must stand in a platform in a particular station for 6 hours waiting for the freight train to pass before they can be able to travel to their next destination. And if we are serious about making sure that we want to reduce gas emissions, we also would want to reduce a lot of people traveling by road. These things should be able to be looked at in a particular manner that can be able to complement one another. And these are the challenges which actually are happening because there is no discussions or synergy or whatever between the affected department. I just wanted to say to talk to these issues. Thank you very much. Are there other matters? Going, it's gone. I think it's honourable members, like you have indicated, the report for is sufficient. We will just really cleanse here and there, particularly the observations and the recommendations to me also. Those are the areas where we need to really refine. I don't know if we can be able to refine such that by tomorrow we're able to come and adopt the report. Can we go into the next matter? don't have an agenda. Quickly. Oh. I'm sorry. Yeah, you know, you have an agenda then. Okay. Minutes. Yeah, austerity measures. It's a good one. The next matters on the agenda is minutes. We will deal with the minutes of the 18th of October, the minutes of the 25th of October, and then the minutes of the 8th of October. November, I'm sorry. Yeah. Can we go into the minutes of the 18th of October? Page 1 of the minutes. Page 2 of the minutes. Can we go to page 3? Discussions on SAMHSA. Any corrections? Nothing? Page 4. Consideration of the draft minutes, page 5. Can we adopt the minutes of the 18th of October as a true reflection? Were you here?
Yeah, no.
No. Oh, okay. Honorable Mlaudzi moved for adoption, seconded by Honorable Teko. Thank you very much. Let's go to the next set of minutes of the 25th of October. Let's look at page 1, mainly register of attendance. Page 2. Oh, the pages are not even numbered. The page that starts with Patel and end with item 2, presentation by the department. That is, I would take it as page 2. Page 3. The official from the department responded to submissions. That's the one that I would consider as page 3. Anything on page 3? Nothing. Page 4, it starts with item 3, just below the two sentences, which is deliberation on administrative adjudication. Going, nothing. Can we go to page 4? The last page. Adjournment of the committee, 12:55. Anything? Next. Can we move for adoption? Before?
Can I ask the question?
Are we on matters arising now? What?
Let's go from to matters arising.
I just want to ask the question on the on page 4. Page 4 deals with the discussion. I was trying to scan through. We had a meeting as a committee where we discussed ARTO and agreed that given that there has been some of the new issues that has been inserted into ARTO, it would require that we need to delay and republish or ask permission to republish the bill for public comment. So I was trying to scan here. I don't know whether it's the following minutes or is it which minutes are we... I didn't find it in this minute of ARTO. Or is it the follow-up, is a follow-up meeting? I'm asking.
Are you responding, Honorable?
One of the elements on the...
One of the two elements, Chair, that my colleague was alluding to is noted under 3.1.1, which was the appeals process. The other one, but this talks to the appeals tribunal, which is something different. But if I recall correctly, it was about the rehabilitation procedure, was the one element, but I'm retracting, Chair. I just called the appeals tribunal, but now that I have a look at it, this speaks to something different.
Valerie and the team, you want to assist?
Chair, I'm not sure that I understand, but the meeting, Mr. Ramatlakhan is correct, that there are going to be possibly amendments that has to go back for further consultation. So in terms of the process, an interim report has been drafted by the team and has been sent to chairperson for the meeting for tomorrow that I will send to members. It's basically a page that that goes to the House to say there is a likelihood that there are certain elements that will be clauses that could be included in the redrafted bill that needs permission from the House because it relates to amendments to the Principal Act. So the matters that were raised in this interim report that members will see are issues, possibly new clauses and chapters that deals with rehabilitation, that deals with the appeals process. So normally with this type of report, it's not necessary to give the House a lot of information. A report can possibly just say there will be possible amendments, but myself, the legal advisor, Advocate Nell, and our colleagues at the tables, we formulated the report, which is basically just a one-pager. So, but with the meeting tomorrow, if members agree on the report, it will be published in the afternoon for the House to give permission so that the committee can make those amendments. So that is the purpose for the meeting tomorrow, where those issues will then be dealt with.
I am in agreement with that, but the question I was asking is where does the authority come from to do that? That authority comes from the meeting, which is the meeting of the October 25th. All I was suggesting is that for that to happen, enabling mechanism for you to draft that report would be a decision that must reflect under the discussion on page 4, that we have since said that this is now new issues that has come up. That's all I'm suggesting we amend that paragraph. And then we have the authority to go to Parliament for that. So I want to move the minutes with adoption, with the amendment.
Honorable Humsinga?
I'm seconding, Chair.
Okay. Can we move for the adoption of the minutes with the amendments as proposed? Any seconds? Seconda?
Yeah,
they have. Oh, by the way, yeah. Thank you. Can we go now to the minutes, the last set of minutes, which is the 8th of November. Page 1 of minutes. Page 2, still continuing with the register. Page 3. Page 3, anything? Any taker? Nothing? Page 4. Page 3, Honorable Masonde.
Just clarity. The last sentence, the way forward, the Act made the following recommendation for implementation by the department. And the department, is it not supposed to be capital letter or what? I see inconsistency. I see the committee is capital letter, but the department is small letter. Mm-hmm. What should be the position in terms of phrasing the...
Okay. Because also even the somewhere it says transport portfolio committee and the department, whatever, is in small letter. I think there must be consistency in how we're doing things. That will be corrected. Let's go to page 4. Page 4. Discussions where we're talking about the innates. Honorable Masonde.
No. Under matters.
Under matters arising, not discussions. Okay. Can we go to page 5? Presentation by the department. Can we go to page 6? Are there matters arising? Are there discussions over this minute? Honorable Masonani?
Yes, Chair. There's something I want to raise. The term clean audit, is it part of the auditing standard or somebody just coined it and now it has become a vocabulary and officials have to be measured in terms of performance on this, whereas in the PFMA there's nothing like clean audit. Where does it come from and why is it now becoming a measurement stick? Because what is in PFMA is disclaimer and what those things where you don't submit anything. What? No opinion. The worst part, disclaimer, qualified with findings and qualified. And this clean audit, I hear people overemphasizing it and officials are punished. Where is it in the Act and in the regulations, PFMA regulations and auditing standard?
No way.
It's a language that was coined by Treasury in trying to understand the PMFA. They came up with that terminology as a more kind of really amplifying what needs to be done. That a clean audit is an audit that we have no findings. It comes from Treasury. The short answer is a language that comes from Treasury.
Honorable
Humsinga. I'm just saying where there's no findings, where there's a clean page, so the clean page or the clean report But there was one incident where they totally understood this, in that they printed T-shirts mentioning clean or qualified, as if that was a qualification at some municipality. So it can be understood very wrongfully, but clean audit as a concept doesn't exist. It's not supported by any form of legislation.
You know, interpretation, let me start off by saying, I think it was sometimes last year or year before last when we were with the AG. This matter was raised, and he categorically indicated that this is the terminology which actually doesn't come from them, and it's not there in the PFMA, and therefore it's a terminology that comes, it's an abstract which came, and now it's being used. But I also want to say that this bookkeeping, accounting language, when you are qualified, it means you did it. When you are unqualified, you didn't do it. So these are the things which actually confuse people, because imagine the new councillors who have just arrived in council, when they are told that they are unqualified. It's something that is wrong for them because they didn't do something right. And when they are qualified, qualified audit means something that is good because it's a qualification. So these are the things which actually, I know that even me and you, when we started this whole saga of qualification, and if you want to hear it very well, you must get Dr. Mtswaledi explaining it for you. You will really enjoy qualification and unqualified audit outcomes. It's a very nice thing. So I wanted to acknowledge Honorable Masonganyi, Honorable Ramatlakana, and then move forward.
Yes, Chairperson, I'm concerned about this, because I serve in the Standing Committee on Audit Agenda. And it's not there in their literature. Because you see, when you come with terminologies, you must be able to define them, because it becomes part of your vocabulary. And why must we import a vocabulary which has got no existence? Where does it derive its existence? Because it is now used as a measurement stick, and in which literature is it there? It's not in the PFMA, it's not in the auditing standard. I have to be showed where it comes from. So, oh no, no. Yes, Chairperson, I don't want to bog down the meeting, because the meeting is not about auditing standards. But we must get clarity. I'm very serious about this issue, because we can't adopt a lingua which we don't know where it comes from, and all of a sudden it dominates our discussions everywhere, and we unnecessarily become harsher to departments on things which have been coined. Treasury, Comrade Ramatlaka, should show us a literature and say, this is what we mean in terms of the auditing standards. And this is what the consequences are if you don't reach that. And so that we are able to measure the departments and entities' achievement next time on the basis of what is legal. We don't want to be taken head on one day. It's like now everything must come from judges. We don't want to be told by judges who haven't been elected. We have been elected by people. So we can't be ruled by judges in South Africa. They are there to interpret the law. So let's sometimes question things when they are raised in their proper context. Thanks, John.
Thank you very much, Honorable. Are you suggesting that where if we have to comply with the literature where it's written clean audit, what do we call clean audit? Clean unqualified. It must just be unqualified.
Yes,
so
maybe let's through you. Let's get the officials to do some homework for us, and Auditor General's people. I think they are always here. That in one meeting discuss this matter. Because you see, we're dealing with the department and so many entities, and I sometimes hear us using terminologies interchangingly. And one day, you know, whatever we do. I don't know whether you go to the library. Even Hans Hartz of 1901, they are there.
Yesterday.
Oh. Yes. So whatever we're doing here, somebody will go to the library or archive and say, these people were discussing things which had no basis. What informed them? And we don't want to be part of that, because 50 years down the line from here, some of us will no longer be here. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
No, Chair. I think I'm not on the issue. I think honourable members made a suggestion that let the official make a homework, and then let's. It is not for today. That debate is not for today. Mine, Chair, is on page 6 of the minutes.
Page 6 of the minutes of the 8th.
Yes.
Yes. That's the last page.
Yes. There's where there is a item number 5 is a discussion item.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that at the end of the discussion, a long discussion about the qualification with the AG and the department, there were recommendations that was made as a kind of way forward recommendation, because the issue there was the auditing standard is a mechanical tool, does not make provision for when there is a court order that prohibit or that block you from doing X, Y, Z. We made a recommendation there, two recommendations, which should appear on this minute. Number one, I think we said there's a clear gap that exists with respect to the auditing standard, that the going back, the policy, the accountant general must basically to review that aspect, because the qualification is as a result of TASIMA barring the department from having access. And even everybody accepted that there is a court order they can't violate. The Auditor General on one hand believed that they still, based on their document that they use, which is a policy document audit, they have to qualify the department. So what I'm missing here, Honorable Chair, is those two recommendations that I thought would appear on this minute. This is the minute where the minister and everybody was explaining. I think we said that there is a gap with regard to the how to deal with the court order, that the auditing standard must be reviewed to make provision for this, because there are going to be many other court orders. There was a second one, I can't remember what the second one, the recommendation was, but the secretary at the top of the table will remember.
Does honourable member remember the second proposal that we made in that meeting, so that we're able to help officials? Dr. Ngesi? Anyway, we've got PMG. Is it PMG? Whatever. You've got the recordings, yes. We'll get it from the recordings, and then we make those two recommendations. Can we adopt the minutes with the amendments that have been made? Okay. Agreed?
Agreed.
Sure. I think we are done with the work of today. Honorable members, let me indicate that tomorrow, I don't think we'll be very long in our meeting because we're dealing with ACTO. Yep. So that we can be able to make a presentation to Parliament, as Valerie has indicated, that our proposal that we said in the committee that we would want to go for public hearings in terms of the issues that were raised by the committee, which are not there in the amended bill, that is what we're going to be dealing with tomorrow, but also to have issues that will be taken to Parliament for tabling in terms of the our proposal. Honorable Rumsinga.
Yes, Chair. Just in terms of today's work, I'm not sure how we will deal with the whole innatus issue and the judgment and where this must be noted, because following recommendations, this committee hasn't decided how to now recommend the inclusion or exclusion, because my colleague Honourable Ramaphosa said that it's subject to a discussion of this committee whether it should be included or not. Now, we are expecting a report tomorrow, and our officials probably wouldn't now know how to deal with it, so could we get a ruling now on that?
Honourable Masonga.
Thank you, Chair. I think we should take Honourable Ramaphosa's take on the matter. We are dealing with the previous year report.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Remember last week when we dealt with the issue of the CFO, Prasa, the minister emphasized that, no, don't judge us on the basis of what is happening currently. Judge us on what the previous year's opinion is all about. So it should also apply here. If we have to note that we'll come back, because now there is a development, and give a report on innatus, let it be a sentence. Then we get a proper full briefing, legally and otherwise. Then we get into the exercise that Honorable Ramaphosa has explained, because otherwise we'll be preempting. We don't even know have the judgment except that we can read, but it's proper that we get a proper formal briefing as a committee. But it does not stop us to have a line, that signal to Parliament that will come with this interpretation and the report on our side. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Sibande, Honorable Rumsinga.
Chairperson, just my comment is, yes, I do share the very same sentiment with my colleagues. It doesn't stop us to issue a statement. But at the same time, I'm a little bit concerned with my fellow fighter. Mm-hmm. Normally, we agree here, but when it comes to the House, I don't know. Thanks.
When will Newcastle will say something? When will Bluefield?
Yeah.
You can't confirm this.
Yeah.
It's like you can't teach us democracy.
My question is still around the date of submission of the report, which was late. Because there was this expectancy of a judgment date that influences this. So the format of the submitted report reflects the outcome of the judgment. So therefore I would argue that this report should include the judgment and giving reason why it was late, and then also why it was documented in a particular way, referring to under which heading the assets were then allocated. It's a very technical, specific thing.
Honorable Ramaphosa.
No, Chair. In the report that was presented to this honorable committee today, the explanation is given about the delay. There's a paragraph that says the department has submitted on the date. The only department that was late, it was the Department of Transport, given what was the challenges there. And it does indicate that the issue about it was a matter of TASIMA and the Auditor General's possible finding. It does say so, that the matter was before the Constitutional Court. That it was said, I think it's captured in the report. My difficulty, however, was not about that. It's the extension of that to elaborative copying in the judgment in our report. That's why I was saying, when did we discuss it? Because remember the sequence of event. The judgment was only a day or two later after we had our committee. So we could not have discussed the judgment for us to make an informed opinion to include in the report. That's the only thing I was saying.
Happy with that, Jay, as long as the reasons are given and the judgment, I agree, should not be included.
Okay.
Chairperson, there was something that worried me before I slept 2 days ago. Words may mean different things. Words to me. There's three repeated statements where a recommendation is saying department need to provide a comprehensive briefing on what whatever. I was worried when you say be brief, just give a brief. The word comprehensive now confuses me. Must it be a report or a briefing, comprehensive briefing, or a comprehensive report? That was the thing that was wrong. It's in this report.
Can you share
that? Yes.
What you call English, an ink.
Advocate Ned.
She, just with the second point, Mr. Ramatlakane, it was raised by Mr. Hansinger in the meeting regarding where the department had worked in a certain way for several years and then the AG changed it. So the second point was raised that the changing of the requirements for the reporting period should also be looked at by the AG so that you don't have a department that works on it a certain way for several years and then there's an immediate short-term change.
English is Lungu Silungi. Yeah, that's how we can put it. Is Lungu Silungi. Comprehensive. Yeah. I know it's Dr. Ngezi who wrote this. Honorable Masonga.
Can you have a group photo of committee members?
Oh, yes.
I want it for my record.
Agreed. Three, four, all of us for sure we're going to want that picture. That photo for ourselves.
Yeah.
Except for the red.
Yeah.
We will also, honorable members, I think we sometimes forget a very important thing. Honorable Keita is not very well. She had an operation last week, Thursday. And I don't know if she will be coming to work today. But probably as a committee, we just need to send her a card. And wish her well in this whole situation. I thought that maybe we would do it last week Friday, but because we're running out of time, but I think today will be fine, that we send a well wishing well message and just a bouquet of flowers from the committee. That will be fine. As we will be taking a group picture next time when she's back. Angazi, ungabuzi mina. Those are party politics. You don't have to consider. Uma Biga is is he not an alternate here in this committee? I think he's alternate. Full-time members is us together with Honorable Keita. She is full-time in this committee. So basically that's why I'm thinking of her. Mabiga, Stole, they are alternate here in this committee. So... those are the issues. Honorable members, it looks like we don't have any other business. On that note, the meeting is adjourned. I don't know where we're going to be taking the picture. We will be guided by the cameraman.
Yeah.
If you can.
We stand to be guided by the cameraman.
When are we taking it next time?
Now.
Oh, now.
Yeah.